Paras HaShmini begins with what would have been a day of great, great simcha, that is the time of Hakamas HaMishkan. And it's not at all surprising that it's a time not only of simcha in the classic sense, but of Hakravas HaKarbanos as well. You know, there is a Mishnah in Shavuos and Daf Yud Aleph, where the Mishnah tells us that Ein Mosifin Ala Irva Lazara Ela B'Shtei Todos. If you want to expand to be Mekadesh, the Makam HaMikdash, you have to do so with Karbanos. This is considered to be an infusion of a Kedushas HaGuf. We'll have to discuss this Mirza Shem on Sunday Shir, the different types of Hekdish and how a person is Mekadesh, how it is that one indeed is Makdish. So not at all surprising, if you have Hakamas HaMishkan, that therefore it entails Hakravas HaKarbanos. What's more than surprising is the types of karbanos that are offered. The Mishnah says you offer a karban todah. A karban todah, you certainly understand, that's appropriate for being mekadesh, an ear, Yerushalayim, the azara, the mikvash, that certainly is true. But here the pasuk says that kach lecha egel babaka lechatos, and a seir izim lechatos, that an egel and a seir offer, and both are termed a karban chatos. And that's surprising. The Karban Chatas is offered at the time of Hakamas HaMishkan. Why exactly should that be the case? So take a look in Ramban. Ramban quotes the Koras Tonim that, of course, these Karbanos had to be brought. In the Lashon of the Toras Kohanim is Yesh B'Yadeichem B'Tchila V'Yesh L'Adeichem Libasov. You know what? Klal Yisrael had grievous Averos, grievous Chataim. And Hakamas HaMishkan was a restart. It was a time that signaled a kapara for the chataim of Knesset Yisrael, and therefore it's appropriate that you offer a karban chatas. So when we speak about the chataim of Knesset Yisrael, the Torah Skonin tells us, Yesh b'yadeichem b'tchila is v'yishchetu seir izin. That was the chait of Mechiras Yosef. And the role of the seir was critical in facilitating that chait. And therefore, as a result, after all, the Gemara says in Shabbos, no, Nisgal Gal Hadavra V'yotza L'Sir Mitzrayim. As a result of Mechiras Yosef, that was a catalyst for the Shibud of Mitzrayim. So now it was necessary to have an absolute kapara. And it's not surprising that a Seir is brought as a Chatos, Hakamas HaMishkan, Keneged V'yishchetu Seir Izin. And the Torah's comment continues, V'yesh B'yadecha B'self, and there was a subsequent Chait as well, and that was Osu Lohem Egal Masecha, the chait of the Egal Hazav. So not at all surprising if in a certain shape or form the purpose of the Mishkan is to serve as a kapara for the chait Egal. So therefore, at the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan, you offer an Egal ben Bakar lechatos. That's a powerful, powerful Torah's koinim. The Karbanos, obviously, bedafka nakat, both are considered to be a karban chatos, an Egal, a seir, keneged the chait Egal, and keneged the chait of Mechiras Yosef. In terms of the connections, what exactly is the link between these chataim and Hakamas HaMishkan? So no doubt that there must be a profound link, and therefore it serves as a kapar. In terms of what was the chait of the Egel Hazav, Rashi writes in Parshas Kisisa, Rashi cites the sugi and Sanhedrin of Sama Gimel, that after all, Elohus harbe evilahem. It sounds from Rashi that that was an overt act of Avodah Zarah. Whether it was absolute Avodah Zarah, or whether it was somehow a void that was necessary to fill, but one thing is clear, that there was something that Knesset Yisrael felt that they needed, that they inappropriately turned to the Egel Hazav. And what exactly is that? Ooh, the Ramban writes in Parshas Kisisa the following, that you know what? Moshe Rabbeinu was the conduit for Knesset Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore they panicked. They thought that Moshe Rabbeinu did not come down when he was supposed to do so. And therefore the Ramban describes that they needed something as the tachlifs of Moshe Rabbeinu. They needed a tmura. They needed something to substitute. After all, how do you relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu? You have to have an intermediary. You have to have some means. You have to have something that is more concrete to be able to channel. And therefore, that was the Egel Hazav. And as absurd as it sounded, they turned the Egel Hazav. Eilo Adachi Yisrael Asher Luchem Eretz Mitzrayim. It sounds beyond. No, they create an Egel, and they attribute Yetzias Mitzrayim to the Egel Hazav that they just created. it's hard for us even to fathom. But the Ramban emphasizes that it was necessary to have something tangible, something concrete. When you look in the Kuzri, at Maimon Rishon, it's in Peretz HaYizayin, there the Kuzri writes that, look, you know, we have Batei Knesios, we have Batei Midrashos, we have a tangible place that we're able to channel Avodas Hashem, because for us that's necessary, for us that's meaningful, to be able to have some type of conduit in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, just as like we have a Beis HaKnesses, and we have a Beis HaMedrash, it's necessary to have a Mishkan. You have to have a tool. You have to have a necessary vehicle. And that was the need that Klal Yisrael expressed. If that really is true, that the need was somewhat sincere, hard to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just simply without, and it's necessary to have a path in order to channel Avodas Hashem, what exactly was wrong with the Egel Hazav? So one thing is clear. Even if the intent was not absolute Avodah Zarah, even if the intent was channeling Avodas Hashem, but one thing is clear, and that's what the Beis Halevi elaborates on in Parshas Kisisa, in the Chet Egel, the words of Kasher Tziva Hashem. As great as a need is, and maybe the need is sincere, and maybe it's heartfelt, but you know what? You need a matir, you need a license, you need a tzivui Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell you that this is what is appropriate to do. And the Beis Halevi writes that obviously was the difference between the Chet HaEgel and Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the Torah tells us time and time and time again, every detail of the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash is kasher tziv Hashem. Why is it that the Torah repeats it time and time and time again? Now the Yerushalmi writes in the end of Sefer Shmos, it's repeated 18 times, and that serves as the basis of Yud Ches Brachos of Shmon Esrei. What exactly is the Musar Haskel? What is the takeaway? As lofty as something is, if it's going to be used to channel Avodas Hashem, that clearly there has to be a tzivui. The language of the Gemara Brachos in Daf Yud, that mad de mifkada si boilach lameved, you can't budge without a tzivui. And if there's a tzivui Hashem, you do. And if this is not conforming to the Tzivui Hashem, then absolutely you do not. The Meshech Chachma writes in Shmos Lamed Beis that that's why the appropriate response of Moshe Rabbeinu saw Knesset Yisrael servicing the Egel Hazav, Vayashlech Miyodah V'Saluchos. Why is smashing Luchos appropriate? It wasn't something that Moshe Rabbeinu did out of anger, but rather Meshech Chachma writes it was exactly Midah Keneged Midah. Because what could be more invested with Kedusha than the Luchos? The Luchos were Michtav Elokim. But you know what? Even the Luchos have no value per se other than Atzivui Hashem. And here you're worshipping an Egel Azav. Moshe Rabbeinu smashed Luchos in order to demonstrate. It's not about the Luchos in any shape or form. It's about recognizing the Tzivui Hashem, and if you fail to do so, even the Luchos are not to be preserved. Meshech Chachma goes a step further, that it's not a coincidence that Bezalel was the main architect of the Mishkan, and the Torah always tells us Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur, Meshech Chachma writes, because Chur gave up his life in order to prevent Klal Yisrael from the chait of the Egel Hazav. He recognized that this pitfall. And therefore, the architect was the descendant of Hur, and the Torah ascribes that lineage to Bezalel because of absolutely this lesson. So that, no doubt, is the instance of Kaser Tziv Hashem when it comes to that sense of Avoda. When it comes to a sense of Mechiras Yosef, now that is the model of Sinah. That's exactly that sugya I mentioned earlier, brachos, tafyurim aveis. No, lo'olam ayeshana ban menavanim. But you know what? One could never go ahead and show favoritism. Right, one son over another. There the Gemara writes, because Yaakov, he gave a ksonas to everyone. But the ksonas of Yosef HaTzadik was worth more. It was worth mishkal shnei slime. It wasn't that one was worth nothing. One was the fabulous amount. It was a small difference, but you know what? As a result, niskano bo'echav, nisgal gal hadavar yodor v'sinim mitzrayim. And that caused the shibud mitzrayim. Tosus is part of that. Caused the shibud mitzrayim. Tosus says mafurish. And Shabbos daf yud. That was part of the bris ben abasarim. And Tosus writes the Chiddush that, you know what, the 400 years of the Bris Mosorim started even earlier, from the time of Yitzchak. It didn't necessarily require absolute persecution of Klal Yisrael. Well, and therefore there must have been another reason that the Golos was as intense as it was. Because the Bris Mosorim already, that Shibud of 400 years, began before Mitzrayim. Wow, that's what Tosus writes. And that's why the Gemara says it must be because of the Sinna of Knesset Yisrael at that time. And therefore, that is the other aspect of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. One element of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash is clearly the Tzivui Hashem. That's paramount, time and time again. Kasher Tzivu Hashem. But part of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash, the Ramban writes, the very beginning of Parshas Truma, is you have to preserve Mamad Har Sinai, Hashras Hashchina, and Achdus of Knesset Yisrael. That's what Mamad Har Sinai represented. The Rachaim writes that that was a precondition of Mamad Har Sinai, a precondition of Mamad Har Sinai. And therefore, we understand the Chet of Mechiras Yosef is a Chet of Sinas Chinam. The Mikdash is supposed to represent the Achdus of all of Knesset Yisrael. Oh, the Gemara Neumann Daftes. That's why the Churban Habayis resulted from Sinas Chinam. And therefore, if that is true, if that was the Chet of Mechiras Yosef, so now all of a sudden, an opportunity. Hakama Samishkan, in order to be able to serve as a kapara, because the Mishkan represents the divinity all of Knesset Yisrael. Yerushalayim HaBnuya, Kirshachov L'Yachtav, now, Osa Kol Yisrael Chaveri. Now, you have a central base on Mikdash that creates a commonality of all of Knesset Yisrael. Rashi writes in the Pasuk of Osasun Kel Hashem Lokeichem. When it comes to Rachman al-Islam, Mahavdol, Avodah Zarah, they have a base of Avodah Zarah everywhere. Now, and each one is its own. Us, we have a central point. No? A central point. Mishkan. Beis HaMikdash. Wherever you daven. No? Beis HaMikdash. That's the unifying factor of all of Knesset Yisrael. So therefore, the essence, the purpose of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash is supposed to represent Mamar HaSinai, the Tzivui Hashem, Kabbalah Satorah, and the Achdus of all of Knesset Yisrael. And therefore, not so surprising that the Hakamas HaMishkan, there are two karbanos that are offered, the eagle and seer, because this is an opportunity to serve as a kapara for the cheta eagle and the cheta of Mechiras Yosef. Ooh, and all of a sudden now, Nadav and Avihu misstep. No, a major blow. No, a major blow. Somehow offering, right, an unlicensed karban, and surprising, not surprising, that their death was immediate, Why exactly was that true? Why, you know, the sugyas we learn in Tisha B'Av, the sugyas in Gittin, no. We speak about the Rishayim that do such tragic things, and seemingly Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish immediately. And all of a sudden, it was part of our kinos in Tisha B'Av. No, Nadav and Avihu, they misstep, and all of a sudden their life is lost immediately. Now we question that in the kinos. Now that, why indeed that should that be? I would suggest very, very simply that what Nadav and Avihu attempted to do undermined the whole essence of the Mikdash Hashem. If the lesson of Yesh B'Yadeh B'Tchila, Yesh B'Yadeh B'Sof, is that Avodas Hashem can't be without license, you need a matir, you need a tzivoy. So imagine at the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan to offer a karban without a tzivoy, to offer an Eish Zara, that was a fallback to the Chet HaEgel. Maybe a person was motivated, a person was sincere, maybe the mindset was really one of Avodas Hashem, but you cannot do so without a Tzivui, and that's exactly what the Pasuk says, that Vayikru V'Fnei Hashem Eish Zara, and the Pasuk continues, now, Asher Lo Tzivu Osam, Asher Lo Tzivu Osam, but without a Tzivui, you're offering this karban without a tzivui. That's the whole lesson of Mishkan, of Kasher Tziv Hashem. So every detail of the Mishkan and every dimension of the Kli is Kasher Tziv Hashem. And at the time of Hakamas HaMishkan, all of a sudden, once again, right, unlicensed Avodas Hashem. That was an attempt to undermine the Hakamas HaMishkan, a fallback to the Chet HaEgel. Oh, when you look at this again, Erev and Asama Gimel, the Gemara says that Nadav and Avihu were guilty of another chait as well. You know what? They had an idea. You know what the idea is? That Oh, it's Hakamas HaMishkan. Wouldn't this be an exquisitely appropriate time to offer, you know, other karbanos? Oh, aside from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do, but, you know, on our own, to offer an incredible, yesterday's shiur, no? Nedar min hadavos, to offer something. What do you do when you have such an idea? What do you do when you have such an idea? Not revolutionary, you know? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do this, but you know what? I think it'll be an incredible minas chasidus to do that. You know what the simple answer is? You know what the answer is? Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen. You know what the answer is? Why don't you consult? Why are you not Sholeitza? No? You have a wonderful idea in terms of how to enhance the Simcha Makamas HaMishkan. Before you do it, wouldn't it make sense just simply to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, no, that, you know what? Torah's Moshe, is this appropriate? Is this not appropriate? So that's what the Gemara emphasizes in Erev Nedar Sama Gimel. The fact that they didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu was not at all coincidental. That wasn't a detail. They were Chayiv Misa because Hora Halacha Bifnei Rabo. Wow, you know, they decided to act without any consultation. Why in the world did they do that? Now, the language of Chazal is stunning. Masa Yamusu Shnei HaZakeinu HaElu. It's time for a new approach. It's time for new leadership. We're going to ask Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were fully appropriate for what Bnei Yisrael experienced up until that point. But this is a new era. This is a new beginning. You know what? That we should consult Moshe and Aaron HaKohen in terms of the new form of Avodas Hashem. And therefore, the lack of consultation was absolutely, absolutely deliberate. You know what that resulted in? Imagine, no? You're contesting the authority of Moshe and Aaron HaKohen. And specifically at the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan, you're going to plant those seeds of dissension within Knesset Yisrael. That, I would argue, is undermining the purpose of the Mishkan Hashem. That is undermining, obviously, the Achdus of Knesset Yisrael. The whole purpose of the Hakamas HaMishkan is to serve as a kapar for Mechiras Yosef. And all of a sudden, at that time, you're doing something without, and you're doing something without uniformity, without consultation, without the permission of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, deliberately. So therefore, the attempt of Nadav Navil was to undermine the very essence, the purpose of Mishkan, of Beis HaMikdash, a fallback to the averos of the Chet HaEgel, the Cheres Yosef, and therefore the response was as immediate, as it was. So the takeaway, no, the theme of Asher Lo Tziv Osam is clear. When it comes to cases of Avodas Hashem, Avodas Hashem requires a tziv. You know, Soloveitchik used to often use the phrase, Avodas Hashem requires a matir. It requires a matir. You know, before you eat something, you have to make a bracha. Part of Birchas Hanen and the Sugin Brachas of Lamed A, that what do you mean? Lashem Arutzim Lo. And therefore, you have to be no Tol Rishus. You need a matir and a tilas Rishus for Achila. You need a matir, you need a tilas Rishus for Avodah Sashem. And without that model, without that license, without that precedent, you know what? A person cannot do so. That's an Eish Zara Shalom Sivosan. And one of, I think, the clear yesodos of this concept of netilas rishus when it comes to Avodas Hashem is clear when it comes to example after example of tefillah. You know, we recently discussed the Sinai Rachas in the Flamed Gimel. There the Gemara tells us the following, Ahu denachis kamed Rabbi Chanina, that there was a shliach tzibur, davened in the presence of Rabbi Chanina. He begins Chazar Seshatz. And he says, of course, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor Vanora, okay? And all of a sudden, he keeps on going on and on and on and on. Ha'adr, Va'azuiz, Va'yiroi, Va'chazak, Va'amitz, Va'vadai, Va'nichvat. No, that's Lashon HaGemara. Now, one phrase after another describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina, Himtin Ad Mesayim. You know, he waited until he finished his Chazar HaSeshatz. He didn't get up there and start screaming right in the middle of Chazar HaSeshatz. Okay? When he finished, Rabbi Chanina turned to the Chazan and said, Siyamtinu l'kula shabchei demarach. That's all you could say. You know what? That we would not be able to say, Kel gadol nimra benora, ilav damir Moshe Rabbeinu baraisa. If not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu used these terms, to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Sefer Dvarim. And va'asu anshei kneses hagdol v'takninu b'tfila. And if not for the fact, Rabbi Chinina said that the anshei kneses hagdola were misakin this as a nusach of tefillah. When the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Zayin describes anshei kneses hagdola, the Rambam writes this as well. But the lashon Gemara is, you know what? They were 120 zakenim uvahem kama neviim. That's the lashon Gemara. Megillah Daf Yud Zayin. Anshei kneses hagdola, that this was nevuah. There were neviim that were present. You need nevuah in order to properly be misakin tefillah. So Rabbi Chanina said the following, that you know what? We have a right to say what we say, because this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. It's part of the Torah Kadosha. This was something that Chazal instituted, uvahem kama neviim. You have no right on your own to go ahead and to add to those aspects of Shevach. And therefore, you're going to add, by essence, by definition, whatever you say is going to fall short. So take a look at the Ritva Nasugya in Brachos Nachlamet Gimel. The Ritva quotes the Rambam in Mar Nevuchim. It's found in Chelek Aleph, right, in Perek Nuntes, where the Rambam, first of this, and the Rambam writes the following. The Lashon HaGemara is that, you know what, you're going to start to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mashal HaMelech Basar Vadam, Shailo Elef Amfei Dilei Zahav. You know what the Mashal is? There's a Melech that possesses thousands and thousands and thousands of gold pieces, and you're going to turn to the Melech and you're going to praise his silver collection. The Gemara says, "Halo gnai hulo." The praise is insulting to the Melech. The Melech has alfei din rezav, and you're praising his silver. So the Ritva on that daf, quotes that Rambam Nebuchim, the difference between gold and silver, the Rambam writes, the Nebuchim, it is not a difference in degree, right? More or less, it's a different min, it's a different sug, it's a different in kind. We're going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just simply we're not saying enough, but you know, anything that we say, by essence, by definition, is considered to be an absolute gnai. And therefore, you're not allowed to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way. What are you allowed to do? Well, the Ritva writes the following. You're allowed, avo l'saper nifla osav, nisav ugvur osav. Oh, you know what you can do? You can describe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, but not who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. No? When we engage in Shevach, you know what? That we can describe, oh, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. We can describe and act, but we can't describe the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as chazak, as amitz, by definition, that falls short. You have no right to say that. You have a right to go in to describe that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And the Ritva continues with the stunning phrase, v'chol hamosif, hareza meshubach. It's reminiscent of the Haggadah. Now, when you're describing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, there, enoch inami, v'chol hamar, hareza meshubach. To describe who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, that you have no right to do. And the Ritva writes, and that's Sefer Tilin. That's Sefer Tilin. Nevuah, Beruach HaKodesh, where we describe the manifestations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The manifestations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an important shita. That Rambam Mer Nevuchim is in Perek Nuntes. One Perek earlier, Perek Nunches. That's the Rambam's Perek Mer Nevuchim, where the Rambam has, we just discussed this recently, no? That notion of negative attributes, no? Attributes of action. When we speak about the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam writes, you can't describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as rachum and chanun erach apayim. We can't fathom what that is, no? All we can possibly say is that we see in life the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see through that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does elements of rachamim. And the Rambam defines that as negative attributes. All we can possibly say is, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not callous. But we can't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good. We don't even know what the goodness is. You mentioned this recently, no? Rashi in the Parsha Bikurim, no? Make sure, she'en ha-kafui tova, Rashi writes, no? That's what we discussed, no? Don't be unappreciative. To appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully does, that we're incapable of. So that's something which is heavy. No, that means that when you're going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be very, very careful. Whatever you say is going to be insufficient. That's the Gemara Megillah Daf Yuches. That's how the Gemara interprets the pasuk. Mi amalo gvuras Hashem, yashmiya kol tilasa. Rabbi Elazar says the Chiddush. What does that mean? That lemi na lemal gvuras Hashem. Who is the person who can really extol the virtue of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mi shiyachal hashmiya kol tilasa. Only a person who can do an adequate job. That's unusual, no? Who has the right to praise Hashem? Only the person who could do so adequately. Well, and Rashi immediately says, "Ve'ein mi shiach l'saper eskulo," and you know that disqualifies all of us. No, no one can do that. No one can do that. No one can do that. So, what does that mean? It's Rashi. Lefichach, ein nir l'saper midato elamash shetiknu chachamim. That's exactly what Rashi writes. Migulan daf yuches. In order to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be able to shmiya kol tilaso, and that's humanly impossible. So what do we do? You know what the answer is? Ma shetiknu chachamim. What Chazal established, Buruch Kodshan, oh, that you have a right. That you have a right to say. So therefore, if Moshe Rabbeinu says this, and that's incorporated in the Torah Hashem, you have every right to say, Kel Godol Giba Benavna. That's it? No? That's something which is very, very powerful. No. When you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, in Perek Zayin, Halach Yed Beis, there the Rambam discusses Psukidism. Psukidism. You know, we're about to engage in tefillah. So you have to begin with Shevach. You have to begin with Shevach. Now that's the formula of tefillah. Shevach, Bakash, and Hoda. Reb Chaim suggested, it's interesting, that that's a din d'oraisa. No? When you look in the Rambam, at the very beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam writes, Mitzvah Saseh Mispala B'Chayom. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa of David. Gram counts it and say for mitzvah, mitzvah. A mitzvah of davening, chiddush of the Rambam. Okay, there's a mitzvah. How often? Every day. Once a day. Once a day, every day. Well, a mitzvah d'oraisa, once a day, every day, to daven. Shachris bin chamar d'rabbana. What about the nusach? The nusach is not d'oraisa. The nusach is not d'oraisa. What is necessary d'oraisa? It sounds in the Rambam that the nusach is d'rabbana, but the structure is a din d'oraisa. Oh, that we derive from Tfilas Moshe. The structure, Shevach Bakash and Hoda. Shevach Bakash and Hoda, it sounds in the Rambam Shita that that's a din d'oraisa. It's an important chiddush. That's a lengthy din, Magen Avraham, Simen Kufav, the Prima Gadim. How do you fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa tefillah? Because the Magen Avraham suggests a great chiddush that when the Mishnah says that women are chayiv in tefillah, brachas d'achav, maybe they're only chayiv in tefillah d'oraisa. But maybe tefillah d'rabban and there's a zman grab. Okay, so how do you fulfill tefillah d'oraisa? How do you fulfill tefillah d'oraisa? The Magen Avraham writes, Modani. Yeah, Bakasha Kodu. Well, the Magen Avraham already points out, maybe you need a little bit more than that. Maybe you need Shevach, Bakasha, and Hoda. Reb Chaim understood that Rambam to mean that midaraisa tefillah Shevach, doesn't mean everything's likuva. Doesn't mean everything's likuva. But the structure is Shevach, Bakasha, and Hoda. So what does it mean you begin with Shevach? You begin with Shevach. Number one, that's how the Shemoneh Esrei begins. The Shemoneh Esrei begins with Shevach. Those are the first three brachos, the Shemoneh Esrei, Shevach. But even beyond that, no. Siman and Aleph, that's Pesukei D'Zimra. That's Pesukei D'Zimra. That the Shevach of Tefillah does not begin with the brach of Avos. The Shevach of Tefillah begins with Pesukei D'Zimra. Pesukei D'Zimra. Pesukei D'Zimra being the Shevach that allows for Bakasha. Allows for Bakasha. That's an important lambdas. The Pesukei D'Zimra is part of the Kiyum of Tefillah. Part of the Kiyum of Shemoneh Esrei. So therefore, when we say Divrei Shevach, it means Pesukei D'Zimra. Probably worth coming on time. No, and worth saying Pesukei D'Zimra. Not like, okay, that's Siman and Aleph. No. So the Rambam describes this. So Pesukei D'Zimra, Shevach. Whoa, how do you do it? How do you do such a thing? You know, the Shliach Tzibur was criticized for, so how do you do such a thing? So you know what the Rambam writes? You know what? Kore Zmiros Mi Sefer Tehillim. You know what we're doing? We're not doing anything on our own. No, you know what we're doing? We're saying kapitel after kapitel after kapitel of Sefer Tehillim. Well, And Rav Soloveitchik often pointed out, that's exactly the bracha Baruch Shamar. Baruch Shamar. You know what the bracha Baruch Shamar is? Wait a second. We have a chiv of shevach. How in the world? Anything we're going to say is going to fall short. It's like a gaiva, no? Yashmiya kol tilaso. We're going to do this. You know what the answer is? Baruch Shamar. You know what Baruch Shamar is? Uvishire David avdecha nalocha. No? You know what? We're not doing anything on our own. You know, we're just plagiarizing. No, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. This is what David HaMelech said. So, you know what? If it's incorporated in Sefer Tehillim, guess what? That this is appropriate. This is appropriate for us to do. In a word, Rav Soloveitchik used to say that Baruch Shamar is a matir. It's matir, psukit is emir. Because what right do we have to engage in Shevach? The answer is engage in Shevach. How can I be criticized for plagiarizing David HaMelech? This is what David HaMelech did. And the Rav pointed out a further chiddush, that if you look in the Sidur HaGra, in Ma'aser Av, in Os Chavav, right, the Gaon did not say Mizmor Shir. The Gaon started Psukit Hazimra with Baruch Shamar. Doesn't exactly explain why, what's wrong with the Mizmor Shir. It's very beautiful. No? So Eichik pointed out, he thought it was exactly this point. That, you know what, before you engage in Psukei Dezimra, you have to begin with Baruch Shamar. You have to begin with Baruch Shamar. Baruch Shamar serves as the matir. Serves as the matir. And if you don't begin with Baruch Shamar, so daven another floor. Okay, the Ashkenazim doesn't do that, but it's very heavy. They don't disagree. They don't disagree. No. Even it goes without saying. It goes without saying that this is Uvashivya Davadachan Aloch. You can begin with that. But the Rav pointed out the Minag Hagra. No, the Minag Hagra was not to have Psukei Dezimra begin, not to have any Shevach before Baruch Shamar. Wow. And therefore to begin with Baruch Shamar. But that's the purpose of Psukei Dezimra. Shevach that precedes the full kiyum of Tefillah. That's why the Tur quotes, right, that the brachas of Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach should only be recited before tefillah. And if a person, for example, skipped and davened already, don't go back and recite the bracha of Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach. That is the proper hachana for tefillah. Mishnah Berurah writes in Simen Ayin that women are chayiv from Sukkot Zimra. How do you know women are chayiv from Sukkot Zimra? Because they're chayiv in Shemoneh Esrei, they're chayiv in tefillah. And if Sukkot Zimra is to introduce tefillah, Mishnah Berurah writes there in Sukkot Beis that isn't it obvious that they should be chayiv there as well? All of this is pointing to that notion, but critical, that tefillah requires a matir. You're going to engage in tefillah, you know what? Moshe Rabbeinu. You're going to engage in sevach, uveshiri davdecha, na'alelcha. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that this is the background to the sugyan brachos and Dav Chav Ches. In Brachos Chav Ches, there the Gemara mentions the various Shemoneh Esrei that you say throughout the year. Some are seven brachos, and some are nine brachos, and some are 18 brachos, and a 19th bracha. And then in the time is even a longer Shemoneh Esrei. So when you look at that Gemara, the Gemara says, "Kineged me, kineged me, kineged me." That's pretty chashuv. What right do you have to do this? We have in our Siddur a seven bracha Shemoneh Esrei. We have in our Siddur a nine bracha Shemoneh Esrei, a seven bracha Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and a nine bracha Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. You know what? Well, what's the source? What's the basis? Because without basis, you cannot do that. There must be a Makar. There must be a Makar. It's incredible. The Gemara quotes Makoros for every Shemoneh Esrei. That's what the Rav pointed out. This isn't just like a game. You know, where do you find this? No. In order to have a Shemoneh Esrei seven brachos, you have to have a makor. You have to have a makor for a tefillah of seven brachos. You have a Shemoneh Esrei of nine brachos, you have to find a makor. 18 brachos, there must be. And the Gemara tells you the makoros. You know, one of the primary makoros is Mizmor LeDavid, no? Tehillim Chapitel Chavtes, and the Mizmor LeDavid. Now, not surprising, when we say Mizmor LeDavid, where we stand for Mizmor LeDavid, no? The minig is to stand. What's the basis of the minig to stand for Mizmor LeDavid? The Gemara says that's the source of Shemoneh Esrei. It's the source of Shemoneh Esrei. It's the source of Amida. No? It's So when I say Mizmor LeDavid, we stand for Mizmor LeDavid. Oh, so the Gemara says the following, that realize that count the Azkaros of Mizmor LeDavid, count the phrases of Mizmor LeDavid. That's going to serve as a model, incredible, for Shmoneh Esrei. Shmuel HaKotan instituted 19th bracha. The Gemara says there must have been a makar for 19 brachas. Because you can't just add a bracha. You can't add a bracha. The Gemara says, incredibly, in Mizmor LeDavid, the Shem HaShem is 18 times, but Kel Kavo, is once. Oh, that's a 19th Azkara, 18 and 1. That allows for Shmoneh Esrei of 18 and 1. Wow, that's something which is pressing. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that, you know, this is critical because he gave us a mashal, Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. You know, if I were to ask you, how many brachos should Musaf have in Rosh Hashanah? You know what the answer is? There should be 10 brachos. There should be 10 brachos. The first three, the last three, every Shmoneh Esrei. You need a bracha for Kedushas Hayom. That's every Shabbos and every Yontif. That would be 7. And Malchus, Yechoros, and Shofros. The 10. So the Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah should be 10 brachos. So 10 brachos. So that's a whole sugi in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis. So which brachos do you combine? Which brachos do you combine? You know, there's a step missing in the Gemara. Why combine? What do you have? Let the Shmoneh Esrei be 10 brachos. No. That's the background. No. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis is assuming, you know, brachos choches, that the source of Shmoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah is 9 brachos, Tefillah Sana, 9 brachos. You know what that means? That at the end of the day, there are only 9 brachos. And if you have 10 themes, you know what the answer is? Combination. And guess what? The Gemara has many, many different deos. How do you combine? Our practice is like Rabbi Akiva, where we combine Malchios with Kedusha Seyon. That's our Shmoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah. No? The fourth bracha of Shmoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah is a double bracha. It combines Kedusha Seyon with Malchus. Well, Rav Soloveitchik said a diuk b'shem Rav Chaim, that combination the Rambam does not quote in Hilchos Tefillah. Where does the Rambam quote this? In the Seder HaTefillahs. No? In the very end of Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam has the nusach of Tefillah. In the nusach of Tefillah, the Rambam quotes the combination that we combine Malchus together with Kedusha Seyon. But the Rambam does not write that in the Seder HaHalachos, only in the Seder HaTefillah. The Seder quoted B'Shem Rav Chaim. Now, you know what that means? That's our minhag. That's our minhag l'chadchila. But it's not at all the ikuva. It's not part of the Hilchos Tefillah. But that's how we are noheg. That's how we daven in order to solve this dilemma of 10 themes that have to be accounted with 9 brachos. And therefore, we go ahead and combine. Wow, that's an important chiddush. Now I'll tell you something incredible that awaits us. This is all part of the Rav Shir. Now, Beit Zedaf Yitzayin. What does the Shmoneh Esrei look like when it comes to a Yantav Shechal B'Shamas? So Beit Shammai says in 8 bracha Shmoneh Esrei. First three, last three. And if it's a Shabbos, Yantav, we just experienced, so a bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos, and a bracha of Mekadesh Yisrael Ba'azmani, in 8 bracha Shmoneh Esrei. And Beis Hillel says, no way. It's not an 8 bracha, Shmoneh Esrei, but a single bracha. What do you mean? A single bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael Ba'azmani. That's what we're used to now. Beis Hillel Shita. What's driving Beis Hillel Shita? As the Rav said, 2 possibilities that really is incredible. One possibility is, look, what does Beis Shammai say? When you have a Yantav Shechal v'Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos and the Kedusha of Yantav are distinct. They're B'shtei Neshimos. So you have Shabbos and Yantav. That's clear. The Kedusha Sayom is Shabbos b'fnei Atzma and Yantav b'fnei Atzma. No? Beis Hillel disagrees and says you combine. So this is the Chakira, you know, you see such lumdus just to pose a question. Now, what's the Shita Beis Hillel? One possibility of Beis Hillel is, in principle, they disagree with Beis Shammai. What you're saying is not true. When you have a Kedusha Sayam of Yantav Shechalos B'Shabbos, they're not independent Kedushas, but the Shabbos and the Yantav fuse to form a single Kedusha. When we did the sugya on Daf Dal and Daf Hey, we discussed what happens if Yom Tov is on Friday. That was the din in the Gemara. Is that Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushas? What's the Maskanah Sagara we learned? Shtei Kedushas. Yeah, that's when Yom Tov's on Friday. Yom Tov's on Sunday. When you have a Yom Tov that falls on Shabbos, that's a unified Kedusha. There, if I ask you, what is the Kedusha Sayyam? You know what the answer is? Neshim Achas, Shabbos Yom Tov. It's not Shabbos and take a breath and Yom Tov, it's Kedusha. So if you have to describe the Kedusha Sayyam, obviously a single bracha. Obviously a single bracha. What's another possibility? Oh, the other possibility is exactly this year. Now, in principle, Beis Shammai is right. I would have liked to have had an 8 bracha Shemon Esrei. Just like in Rosh Hashanah, I would have liked to have had a 10 bracha Shemon Esrei. But I can't. Brachas Chavches. The Shemon Esrei of Shabbos is 7 brachas. The Shemon Esrei on Rosh Hashanah is 9 brachas. So that forces a combination. Even though Malchios and Kedusha Sayom are not one halacha, but I'm forced to combine to solve the number problem of the 9 and the 10. Maybe I can argue the following. You know what? Beis Shammai, I agree with you wholeheartedly, except for the fact that our source of Shemon Esrei on Shabbos Yom Tov is only 7 brachos. So necessarily we have to combine. Ooh, that's a heavy issue. The combination of Shabbos and Yom Tov, is that a fusion? Or is that an accommodation? No? A fusion of a single Kedusha? Or an accommodation of 2 Kedushas that we have to kind of squeeze into a single bracha of Kedusha Sayyam? You know? We discussed half the Sugi Be'er V'Tav Shilin already, no? It's Hashem Sun, the second half, Be'er V'Tav Shilin. But we pointed out, you know, maybe to some extent that could depend on the Heter V'Ocha Nefesh. You know, if the Heter V'Ocha Nefesh is only Duchuya, maybe that points to the link of Shabbos and Yom Tov. They share the same Yisuri Malacha. If you like the Ramban, maybe they're very, very distinct. They're very, very distinct. It's an interesting possibility. You know, the Gemara Brachos that Memtes is bothered by the following. We usually don't mention 2 different themes in a single bracha. So the Gemara asks, what do you do when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos? You say, Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael Vazman, Beitzi Zayin, no? The Gemara says, isn't that a violation of, like, Einorim Shtei Kedushos? So, the teretz of the Gemara is Machlokas Rashi, the Bahad. Rashi writes, no, that's not a kasha. Chadi. That's what Rashi writes. But that's like a Chavilos question. Shtei Kedushos. But that's not... You're mentioning 2 different themes in a single bracha. The Kedusha Sayom is Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's Shabbos and Yom Tov. To say it's Shabbos and Yom Tov is not a violation of Chavilos. Chadihi, it's a single Kedusha, Rashi writes. A single Kedusha. That's something which is pretty stunning. Which is pretty stunning. Is the Machlokas Beisila Beis Shammai fundamental? What is the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov when you have Yom Tov Shechal B'Shabbos? Or is it a very pragmatic, a practical issue? How is it that you accommodate 8 themes and 7 brachos? And therefore, well, obviously, the answer is to combine. The answer is to combine. Rav Soloveitchik's Nusach HaTfilah, a little different than what we commonly do. When you have, for example, as we just experienced, not a week ago, no. You have Yom Tov Shechal B'Shabbos. You know what the Ramah writes? This may sound shocking, but it's Mufurish in Ramah. The Rand of Ofis Pesach, Tav Pei Zayin, where the Ramah is clear, obviously, you mentioned Shabbos and Yalav Yalav. Mufurish in Ramah, no? This is Rav Soloveitchik's practice. Right? In Yalav Yalav, you mentioned Shabbos. Mishaburu quickly comments that Aminig is not to do so. No, but the Ramah is like, well, you know, how can you mention Yom Tov without Shabbos? It's a Yom Tov Shechal Yisrael Shabbos. How can you mention Yom Tov without Shabbos? How can that possibly be? You know? The Minhag HaGra is that when you have an Yom Tov Shechal B'Shabbos, what we have in our Siddurim is we begin Elokeinu Elokei Voseinu Ritzivu Nechaseinu. We're going to mention Shabbos because it's Shabbos. But we're going to begin by Elokeinu Elokei Voseinu. You know what that is, Elokeinu Elokei Voseinu? You know what that is? That's the way of beginning a new paragraph. Well, that's a new psicha. Well, we mentioned it's Yom Tov, and we're about to acknowledge that it's Shabbos. Is that part of the same paragraph, or is that a new paragraph? No? Is that a new paragraph? If it's a new paragraph, I'm going to begin with a psicha. If it's a hemshech, I'm not going to do so. Is that pretty fascinating? No. So a salvation practice based on the goal is not to say Lokinim Voseinim, and to mention Shabbos in Yalav Yom. Both those things are related. No, not to mention Shabbos separate from Yom Tov. Mamish b'neshima achas. That these things are considered to be that which is together. That's a heavy issue. What is the relationship between the two of them? When you have Yom Tov Shechal b'Shabbos, it's like a fascinating issue. There's a stunning tshuva. You can take a look in the Gros Moshe. It's in Chelek Dalet Simen Ayin. Rav Moshe writes that it was Shabbos, it was Rosh Chodesh, Shvat, Rav Moshe writes, and Jews were taken and they were imprisoned, and they didn't have a sitter. And you know what? They were used to saying Musaf. But I tell you, Sarta, they didn't know about that. No? They knew the nusach for Shabbos musaf, but they didn't know for Rosh Chodesh musaf. No, so that's what Moshe discusses in that shuva. He writes like a fascinating chiddush that, you know what? So let them daven a musaf shmoneh esrei, and you know what? And if you're released, you know, come back and you'll have the siddur. Then Rav Moshe said just to daven Rosh Chodesh shmoneh esrei. It's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, you have to masker both. So you can masker Shabbos in one Shema Esrei, and Rosh Chodesh in another Shema. Just like the Musfei Shabbos and the Musfei Rosh Chodesh are brought separately. So therefore, if a person would only be masker Shal Shabbos, not Shal Rosh Chodesh, and he has an opportunity to make up what he missed, he would only say the second. That's like a Chiddush. No? They have a Sfarim, the Piskei Din of Shlomo Zalman, Shulchan Shlomo. Mr. Reis Samaches, he disagrees with that Jubal Ramosha. Like it's a fascinating possibility. What you hold of Shabbos Yom Tov is not necessarily what you would hold about Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Maybe one could disagree. But in Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's a very, very heavy issue. Is it really Kedusha Achas? And therefore there's one bracha? Or would I argue that no, what's driving it is this concept of Matir. It's an important issue. But there is a Gemara in Yuma Daf Yotes where the Gemara says something. It's very unclear what the Bira of the Gemara is. The Gemara quotes the pasuk Kriya Shema V'Dibarta Bam. V'Dibarta Bam is referenced to Talmud Torah. V'Dibarta Bam. And the Gemara just says Dorish. Take a look. Yuma Yotes and Mabeis. Bam v'lo b'tfila. Talmud Torah, yes, tefillah, no. And that's it, no. It's very, what exactly does that mean? V'dibar tabam, but below b'tefillah. What is that referring to? Rashi says, v'dibar tabam means dibur, which is bakol. Bakol. You're allowed to say kriya shema in a louder fashion. Yeah, tzarech hashlila, no. But tefillah should remain relatively quiet. Relatively quiet. A person should not be mashmiya kol b'tfilas. No? So if a person is saying Kriya Shema, and he's saying Kriya Shema a little bit loudly, okay, you know. If a person is saying Shmoneh Esrei loudly, you go over to that person and say, you know, you have to quiet down. V'dibarta bam, dibur should be with tfila, but differently than it is with Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema, it's bakol, and not true when it comes to tfila. Well, that's how Rashi understands the Gemara. The Ritva has several different biurim. The Ritva means, maybe it's the following. Dibur means greeting a person. I'm speaking to a person. Shela Shalom. If a person approaches me in Kriya Shema, you know there are times where you stop your Kriya Shema and you respond. No? Details, no? Kavod, Yira. But velo b'tfila. No. A person is greeting you in Shmoneh Esrei. That's not a time for Dibur. The Dibur, Rashi says it's the Dibur b'kol ram. The Ritva suggests that maybe it means something else, Shema Shalom. But Saveshik would refer to the Biur based on the Shir. No, this is found in the Netziv Neshultas, in Kuf Mem Gimel. You know what Bidi Bartaba means? Talmud Torah. When is it appropriate to learn? When is it appropriate to learn? When is it appropriate to learn? What do you mean? You know what the short answer is? Always. No? Always. When is it appropriate to divar tabam? Always, always, always. You know? But below betfila, below betfila. Wow. What does below betfila mean? That's mamish what the Netziv writes in Shultas. Kuf Mem Gimel. You know what? When it comes to Esek Batorah, calls man shetitz. When it comes to tefila, tefila has certain times where, yes, well, tefila requires a matir, requires a matir. You're going to engage in tefila. You know what? Avos, karbanos, shachris, mincha, mariv. The answer that I'm just going to daven in any way, any time, anything I'm desirous of. I will tell you that's true when it comes to learning, but the Netziv writes that's not true when it comes to cases of tefillah. If a person is davening a nedava, it has to be based on something. Oh, it's based on a carbon nedava. Oh, and if on Shabbos you don't offer a carbon nedava, the Rambam's Mefurish and Perek Aleph Hilchos Tefillah, then guess what? That on Shabbos you don't daven a tefillah nedava. In other words, it's not just a matter of what anything goes. Anything goes. When it comes to Talmud Torah, yeah, mashlib chachafetz, you know what? That can always be appropriate. But you know, when it comes to tefillah, they're gedarim. They're halachos. This is Zman tefillah. This is not Zman tefillah. This yes, this not. No, that's how the Netziv interprets the Gemara. That v'dibarta bam means v'lo betefillah. That free license of reign in order to, at any moment, any aspect of the Torah Hashem is always available to you. That's an incredible source when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to Talmud Torah, but not to the same extent when it comes to, you know. And maybe this is part of the Sugyan Brachos and the Papa, where a person misses a tefillah, there's a possibility of a tefillah tashlumin. But you know what? Tefillah tashlumin follows a tefillah sova. Follows a tefillah sova. And the sheet of the riff in that Gemara, Brachos Chavah, that's a riff in Daf Yudches, the Davi Riff, that's ma'akev. That's ma'akev. Wow. If a person by mistake messed up the order, a person didn't daven mincha, you know, he has to make up, and he has to daven tashlumin. And maybe he thinks, you know what? All right, let me first make up for mincha, and then I'll daven mariv. And if you daven Shmon Esrei 1, which is tashlumin mincha, in Shmon Esrei 2, which is Mariv, guess what? The Pesach of the Rif, he has to have a third Shmon Esrei. A third Shmon Esrei. That's like Tosus's incredible model. I say, you blew it, you made a mistake, you have to daven again. Usually Tosus says, that's that famous Tosus, no Chafav Mandeis. Usually when you make a mistake and daven again, you're saying something in the second Shmon Esrei that you omitted in the first. No, you forgot Yalav Yavo. So daven again with Yalav Yavo. Here Tosus says, is it so obvious that a person is called upon to daven again when he's going to say the very same words? Or do I argue, lo yarvi aplum? So in that context, Tosus quotes this riff. You daven tashlume mincha, and then all of a sudden you daven marid afterwards. You know, you have to daven again? The exact same Shmon Esrei that you daven Shmon Esrei 1 is the exact same Shmon Esrei, Shmon Esrei 3. So Tosus writes as an important yisod according to the riff. But why should that be true? Why should the Seder be li'ikuv? Sri Savetcha pointed out the same notion. V'dibarta bam v'lo b'tefillah. You can't just, you know, my heart's desire, I'm davening in the middle of the morning, say it, and the guy's davening in the hallway. No, like, what are you doing now exactly? You know? Okay, a longer answer. No, it's not whatever you desire, when you desire. Like, no. There, you missed. The Torah gives an opportunity for tefillah tashlum, but there has to be a say there. It's an expansion of the tefillah sova. It's not just simply davening Shmon Esrei. In and of itself, that's a fascinating deal over time, no? Can you ever have a chiyu davening tashlum without a prior tefillah sova? Maybe yes, maybe no. That certainly is not the seder, not tefillah. the tefillah aschove is matir, the tefillah stashlim. It's not a shavishim of all of these cases. Now that avodas Hashem, avodas shebelev, avodas hakarbanos, avodas hamishkan, avodas hatefillah requires a matir, requires kasha tziv Hashem. Now that's the model of the beginning of the parsha, and that carries out when it comes to so many aspects of the dinei hatefillah. Mitzvah Hashem, someday we'll continue with the Hadra Yisura Kam, and I'll go through that also very well. Adafi Beisel. Thank you.